Brother Lindsay, take your Bibles now and let's turn to Psalm 100. Psalm 100. We are, as our theme this year, we have the theme True Worship. And so last Sunday night I preached a message on the Lord and on God, His names, and the fact that we should worship Him and that He is worthy of our worship and worthy of our praise. Tonight I want to talk to you just for a few minutes about why do we worship Him? Why do we worship God? And that's He's the one that we should be worshiping, amen? Nothing else, no one else, but we should be worshiping God. Why do we worship Him? The psalmist reminds us, make a joyful noise, Psalm 100 verse 1, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. This all sounds good, doesn't it? Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. You don't have to know every note. Now, some folks cannot sing real well musically, but they're making a joyful noise unto the Lord. And God's just as pleased with that as if you're the greatest soloist in the congregation, as long as it's coming from the heart. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. I've never understood. I've said this many times. I don't understand, unless somebody has laryngitis or brain damage, why they don't sing in a worship service. Why would they not sing to the glory of God? And you look out and see some counting the lights and looking at, well, we don't have any bricks in here, but whatever, the stained glass windows. But we ought to sing to the glory of God. Amen? Sing from our hearts. When you sing these songs, think of what you're singing. You know, we get so used to songs, we just sort of sing through them. We need to think of what we're singing because we need to mean it from our heart. We're praising God. It's an opportunity to praise the Lord. And so, know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us. And not we ourselves, we are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into the courts, His courts, with praise. Thanksgiving, praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Give honor to His name. Give glory to His name. The psalmist reminds us of worship. Now, why do we worship God? I answered a little bit of that actually last week, mainly because of who God is. And we talked about God's omnipotence, His all-powerfulness, His omniscience. He knows everything. God's omnipresent. He's everywhere present. God is the one that is worthy of worship. He made the earth. He sustains it. God should be worshipped by us. Our whole focus, our whole life, our attention should be on worshiping God, the true and living God. But there are other reasons for letting our minds and our hearts and our bodies assume the attitude, the position, whatever it is, to respond to the goodness of God that the psalmist is talking about. So why do we worship God? First, I think we worship Him because we were created to worship. God made us to worship. It is innate in us. It is inborn in us to worship something or someone. So God made us to worship. And we are to find, and we should find, fulfillment and also other things emotionally and physically and mentally in our action of worshiping Almighty God. We should be thankful for God's greatness, for God's goodness to us, and that should place us in an attitude of worship. God intended for it to be that way. Now, that's what He wanted from the very beginning. And Adam and Eve, He wanted them to worship Him. That's what He wanted out of them. And what did they do? They messed it up. They decided they would not worship Him. But all of a sudden, they turned to the devil and they began to worship themselves. We shall be as gods, and we want to be important, and we will know the difference from right and wrong, and all of those things. They are the ones who messed up the original purpose, the original cause for God to create man and woman, and that was that we would give Him glory and worship Almighty God. God wanted us to do that. Now, we would not have the problems that we have tonight if Adam and Eve had just done what they were supposed to do, and that was humble themselves before God and worship God from their heart and not turn from that attitude of praise and worship to God. A.W. Tozer, many of you have read some of his materials, familiar with that, but a great writer and a man of God, he made this statement. He said, God is trying to call us back to that for which He created in us, to worship Him and to enjoy Him forever. Let me read that again. God is trying to call us back to that for which He created us. What's that? To worship Him and to enjoy Him forever. That's God's original purpose, and that's God's purpose for our lives tonight, that we would worship Him and enjoy Him forever. Now, there came a time on down in the time of the world that our ancestors got far away from God. And if you'll turn to Romans chapter 1, you'll see where that was part of the getting away from God and the failure to worship, and what happens when that happens. When men and women do not worship God like they should and put God in the right place, something is going to fill that place. Romans chapter 1, beginning with verse 18, the Bible says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." Now here's the reason. Verse 19. "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power in Godhead, so that they are without excuse." But here comes the problem, verse 21. "Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their own imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools." Now how did they become fools? What did they do? Here's what they did. Verse 23, "And they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to the corruptible man, to birds, to four-footed beasts, and to creeping things." And what was the result of that? When they quit worshiping God and turned away from God, verse 24 says, "Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves." And he goes on to describe some of the practices they picked up because they didn't honor God. The reason we have so much sin in our society today, the reason we have people appealing to approve of sin, wherever, whatever it may be, is because they quit worshiping God and they put God out of His place. And as a result of that, they've begun to worship other things. And so it is that that's what happened to our forefathers because of that. They stopped glorifying God as God. And they stop being thankful, according to these verses. And that's always a problem. And then they stopped responding to the truth about God. And when people do that, we're going to have problems. Now, we have that nature, that desire to worship. And so, even though these things have happened in our culture and in our society and down through the ages and all of that, we still respond by worshiping. All people still respond by worshiping what we love and what we value. That's what we're going to worship. What do you love tonight? What has the greatest value to you? Think of all the things in your life, and how would you answer that question? And I'm afraid what happens to us, we do what they did in Romans chapter 1. We began to worship the lesser gods. We let things get in our lives, even as Christians, that we put before Almighty God. It may be our children. It may be some habit. It may be some job. It may be some prestige we want. It may be something else. But we compromise our position. We put God over to the side a little bit, and we begin to worship these things that we want, materialism, sex, drugs, those other things. We let them come in our lives, and we put those above God. And that's a sad thing. We worship lesser gods. That's what they did. And when that happens, things begin to topple, and total disappointment comes in, and that's what's happening in the United States of America today, I believe. We are created to worship. And we're going to worship something, but we ought to worship God. Secondly, we are commanded to worship God. That's very simple. God wants us to worship Him. The teacher, the religious teacher, asked the Lord, "What is the greatest commandment?" Turn to Mark chapter 12 just a second. Mark 12 and let's drop down to verse 28. Mark chapter 12. Verse 28, one of these scribes, a teacher, verse 28, Mark 12, said, "One of the scribes came, and having heard them, reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him," this religious teacher asked Jesus, "which is the first commandment of all?" What's the most important commandment? Which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment." That means we're to worship Him with everything we have. Love God with our heart, our mind, our soul, our body, our spirit. Love God with everything that we have. That's what He's saying. And He answered the question. And He said there's another commandment like to it, but the first, the most important thing is you love Me. You love God with all your heart, all your might, all your soul, and worship Me and Me alone. Now, question, is love worship? I think so. I think when we really love like we should love, it turns into worship. It's only natural that we're going to worship if we really love like we should love and love God. And this kind of love is that kind of love. It is an adoration and a love that God deserves. It's an adoration and a love that God ought to have. And every ounce of our affection and every ounce of our adoration and every ounce of our allegiance belongs first of all to God, nobody else. Doesn't belong to your husband, doesn't belong to your wife, doesn't belong to anybody else. It belongs to God. Our allegiance belongs to God, nowhere else. The company store or anything else. So, now, when we love those people that are undeserving, and we should do that, when we love people that are undeserving, this is an act of mercy. It's an act of mercy. But when we love God with all of our heart, it's an act of worship. And that's what God wants us to do, worship Him. A third reason, He uses our worship. When we worship Him like we should, He uses our worship to accomplish His purposes. God has a reason that He wants us to worship Him. Technically, God doesn't need our worship. Did you know, really, God doesn't need your money? God really doesn't need your clothes. God really doesn't need your service. God really doesn't need your food. God can take care of Himself. I mean, technically, He really doesn't have to have us. God is totally complete without me or without you or anything that I have. If I didn't exist and I didn't have anything, it wouldn't bother God whatsoever, because God is self-sufficient, totally self-existent on His own. But God allows this, and He allows us to worship Him and to think about Him and to bring us to that place, mainly to bring us to salvation, to bring us to where we'll get saved. When we look around and we sing that song, we consider the stars and the moon and all of that and the rolling thunder, and we want to say, "How great Thou art." And God wants to draw us to Himself to make us realize there is someone out there worthy of worship. And when he does that and draws us to that point, he immediately begins to draw us to his Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. He brings us to salvation. And that's part of the reason he wants us to notice him, to recognize him, to know who he is, and to worship him, to bring us to salvation. And that's where true worship really begins, when we come to salvation. But God uses that innate part of us, that desire in us, to worship outside of ourselves, knowing there's a higher power and a greater power, and that leads us to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Another reason we should worship him is because our worship pleases him. Our worship pleases him. When people give their tithes and offerings, that is a form of worship. Amen? It is a form of worship. Whenever we pray, it's a form of worship. And I don't know how you would pray. You might pray on your knees. You don't always have to pray on your knees. There are different ways. There are some people who cannot get on their knees, but in their heart they pray. That's a form of worship. When we sing to the glory of God, that is a form of worship. We sing, just like the psalmist said, to the glory of God. We worship God. We need to learn and understand that we worship God. Now, we can worship God anywhere, but when we come together as a group of believers and we sing praises to him, we worship him together. We enter into a place where we can worship God. Not limited to this place, but certainly inclusive of the house of God when we come together for corporate worship. For God says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in their midst. You say, preacher, I thought we were always in the presence of God and that God's everywhere. He is. But he indicates that when we come together to worship him, and we worship him through singing and praying and giving and doing those things, then God is pleased and he is in a very special way present with us in these services. And I want him to be present, don't you? I want God to be present with us. The psalmist said in 147:11, another place, the Lord taketh pleasure. Let us think of that. The Lord takes pleasure. Not me. Not somebody on staff, necessarily, although it'd be nice. I mean, it's nice. But the Lord takes pleasure. That means it pleases God. He takes pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy. That's worship. That's an attitude of worship. Reverential awe, worship, his worthiness, and so we fear him. And when we worship reverently before God, God takes pleasure in that. Don't you want to make God happy tonight? Don't you want God to have pleasure out of you? I do. I want God to be pleased with me. I want him to be able to look at me and say, I'm getting some pleasure out of that rascal. I'm getting some pleasure out of that preacher. I'm getting some pleasure out of him. And all of us should have that attitude. We want God to get pleasure from us. I would think we would all agree he deserves pleasure from us. He ought to get some pleasure out of us. He bought us. He gave his only son to die for us. And he ought to get some pleasure out of us. The Lord taketh pleasure. Let that sink in your mind. God takes pleasure when we worship him in spirit and in truth. And then our worship proclaims him to others. When we worship God like we should, we are preaching to others and telling others that there is a true and living God. There is a God. And sometimes we'll be in a public place, a restaurant, bow our heads and pray, and somebody will come by the table. I remember one time we were out here for a fellowship meeting, and we prayed. We were down at the big hotel, I don't even remember what it was called then, Holiday Inn or something, that's south of here. And my wife and I were praying, and when we got through, this big old cowboy came by the table, picked up the ticket and took it, and he said, that was great. I enjoyed your prayer, and he went and paid for the ticket. I've been praying hard ever since. Every time I go to a restaurant, I just pray and hope. But it doesn't always work that way, by the way. But he recognized, I don't know if he was saved or not. He got away so quick, I didn't even get to talk to him. I don't know if he was saved or not, but he knew that we believe there is a God. Don't ever be too embarrassed to bow your head in a restaurant and pray. You know, I know some of you better say, "Dear Lord, thank you for our." Amen. No, that's not the way you ought to pray. Pray. Bow your head and pray. You don't have to stand up and preach and give a 3-point outline and all that kind of stuff like one guy did. I called him to pray once, but it wouldn't hurt us to pray and worship God just a little bit and let people know there's a God. Amen. There's a God. I mean, in Africa and other places, other countries, when they blow the horn and they get on the loudspeaker for Allah and all of that, those people are supposed to bow down right where they are and worship Allah. The least we could do is pray over our food and let people know that there is a God. But we need to proclaim Him to others. And by proper worship, we let them know that. Whenever there's a real great event, a spectacular event, the news media jumps on that, and as soon as possible, they let the whole world know about that spectacular event. And so one day, the first men on the moon, and when he got off, he made some statement like this: one small step for man, one giant step for mankind. And that went all over the world. Why? It was noteworthy. I'm glad we were leading in the space efforts and exploration. I would like to see us continue to lead. There are other reasons for that, but I think it would be good. But anyway, it was a wonderful thing, and they put it all over the news because it was well worthy of announcing the great accomplishment of putting people on the moon. I know some of you still don't think they went there. I remember my aunt talking about the weather changing. She said, "That's because they're on the moon. God don't want them up there." I don't know about that. But at any rate, it was a great accomplishment. Now, let me tell you this. God is the most noteworthy and newsworthy person and event that I know anything about. Nothing trumps Almighty God. And so we ought to acknowledge the Lord loudly in the right way, and we ought to acknowledge the Lord continuously. We should acknowledge Him everywhere we are. Acknowledge God. Let people know we believe in God and that we worship God and we love God and we serve God and we believe God's on the throne and we believe that His Son's going to come back someday and He's going to straighten all this horrible mess that we've made on the earth out, straighten it up. Thank God for that. We ought to worship Him. In other words, we should find God too wonderful for us to keep to ourselves. And He is too wonderful for us to keep to ourselves. We ought to give God to the world. We should be witnessing, telling others about Christ. There are a lot of Christians who hadn't witnessed anybody all their Christian life. What a shame. And there are some who hadn't witnessed for the Lord in the last year. What a shame. And we ought to all just take opportunity to witness to people and tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Just let go and let God have your tongue and speak up for God. We were talking to a waitress the other night. I keep thinking they must think we eat out a lot. Well, we do every once in a while. But at any rate, whenever we do eat out, a lot of times we try to witness to the waitress or the waiter. And we met a couple recently that were saved and knew the Lord. And the one we last witnessed to, she said, "I'm saved." Said, "My grandpa's a preacher, and he led me to the Lord Jesus Christ." "Well, I'm a grandpa, and I like that." And I said, "That's great. And she's going to a Baptist church." I said, "You ought to come to a good one, come to ours," and gave her a track and all that, you know. But she's saved and knows the Lord. And you find some very interesting people. We met one young man who's going to be a preacher. He was just working. He said, "This is my last week here at this restaurant, and I'm going to another restaurant." And he's a student at Southwestern Seminary, and he's working on his master's degree, and he's going to be a preacher and all of that. He said, "Man, it's good to meet somebody that's saved. It's good to know somebody that loves the Lord." And all we did was bowed our heads and prayed and talked to him just a little bit. That's all we had to do. We ought to acknowledge loudly, continuously, that others might know there's a God. And then there's some others that are out there. Brother Steve and I were eating out the other day. We eat a lot. And so, different person, different place. And as we were eating, the waitress, we began to talk to her, and he asked her about something, and then we went on to witness to her. And she finally just sort of, you could see tears well up in her eyes. She was going through a lot of problems, having a difficult day. And I believe she told us she was saved, Brother Steve, if I remember right. She went away a while and she came back, more water and all that. And she said, y'all have made my day. And tears, she said, I went in the back and cried a little while. I've been going through a lot of trials and a lot of problems. She's a single parent with two or three children at home. You know, just let people know there is a God. And there, once in a while, you're going to run across somebody that is unsaved, and you can lead them to Jesus Christ. We ought to worship Him and find Him too wonderful to keep to ourselves. And that's the way it should be. Again, the psalmist said in 145:4, one generation shall praise thy works to another. You get that, parents? One generation should praise the Lord's work to another. And that generation to another generation, it should never cease. One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty works. Talk about who God is and praise Him and declare it to this generation and our children and grandchildren and let them know it. So here's what God is saying to us, I think, tonight as I think about these things that I've shared with you tonight. One is that salvation is what enables you to worship. Listen, you can pray through all the beads you want to, be baptized as many times as you want to. You can go and turn over every kind of new leaf you want to and try to do good all you want to. All of those things combined together, and you still will not be worshiping God until you get saved. Worshiping the true living God does not begin to happen truly until you come to Him, until you get saved. And I said that in case there's somebody here tonight who has never been saved. You cannot properly worship God. You may sing with us. You may even come to the altar sometimes and pray for somebody that's sick or something. Do a lot of different things, but you don't really enter into the worship of God until you get saved. Amen. And then we come before Him in our praise, in our worship. All other acts and so-called worshipful deeds are totally in vain until we come to Jesus Christ. We have to be born again. And then we need to practice true worship, the true worship of God. And if we're really worshiping God, listen to me now, if we're really worshiping God like we should, and He has the right place in our lives, number one, then that is going to cause us to, number one, repent of our sins and confess to Him anything that is in our life that does not belong there. If we worship Him like we should and He has the right place in our lives, then the result of that is going to be that we're going to judge our sin and get it right with God and confess it to Him. That's just what happens when you get the worship thing right. That's what's going to happen next. So we need to worship God for those reasons and to impact others and to win people to Christ. Why should we worship God? Some good reasons. Let's stand, please. Who do we worship? Almighty God, all of His attributes. Why do we worship Him? Some of these reasons tonight. May God help us. If you need to be saved, come tonight and be saved. If God has the right place in your life, my friend, and you really are worshiping Him, I mean, you're loving Him with all your heart, mind, and soul, then you're going to get some things right with God. Some grudges, bitterness, anger, sex sins, drugs, alcohol, bad attitudes, pride, all of these works of the flesh. If you worship God like you should, you're going to say, God, I'm sorry, I got to get this out of my life, because You are God and I worship You and I know You don't want these in my life and I want to straighten them out. Would You come? Father, thank You for Your word. Bless it now. Help us to do what is right. Oh God, help us to worship You like we should, to love You like we should, to put You in our lives where we should, to gladly bow down before You and be subservient to You because You are God. Help us to let others know who You are, that we might win them to Christ. Help us to daily spend time and our thoughts and our energy, sometimes the position of our bodies in prayer, to honor and glorify and worship you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. While we sing.